This is Nachyomi, Sefer Melachim Bet, Chapter 10. Achav still has 70 sons living in Shomron. Yehu sends word to the elders of Shomron, who are responsible for the king's children, and demands that they either defend Achav's descendants' right to the throne, or they deliver the heads of his 70 sons to Yisrael. Out of fear of the might and ruthlessness of Yehu, the elders kill all 70 sons of Achav, and deposit their heads in two piles in Yisrael. Yehu comments that they are now also complicit in his act of rebellion against the house of Achav. He further notes that the destruction of Achav's royal line is in fulfillment of the prophecy of Eliyahu. Yehu then proceeds to eliminate any remaining relatives, friends, or associates of Achav in the area. Unaware of what has transpired, 42 kinsmen of Ahaziah, king of Yehuda, come to visit their extended family in the area, and Yehu slaughters all of them. Yehu partners with Yehonadav ben Rechav to eliminate the vestiges of Baal worship from the country. He declares his outstanding and exclusive fealty to the Baal, of course he's pretending, and announces throughout Israel that there will be a mandatory day of Baal service that must be attended by all believers. The Baal worshippers gather together, filling the house of the Baal, and don their special garments. Yehu makes sure that no servants of Hashem are present, only truly devoted Baal followers are permitted to participate. Once the sacrifices have been offered and the service is concluded, Yehu orders his men to close off the exits and kill everyone inside. He then demolishes the house of Baal and transforms it into a public restroom. By exterminating its adherents, and destroying its institutions, Yehu effectively abolishes the worship of Baal in Israel. Yehu's zealous behavior earns him a promise that his line will occupy the throne of Israel for four generations, but despite his opposition to Baal and devotion to Hashem, he does not remove the altars of Yerovam and their golden calves, allowing them to remain so his subjects are not tempted to return to Jerusalem to serve God. This failure on his part diminishes the impact of the revolution and spiritual renaissance he had orchestrated in Israel. During the 28 years of Yehu's reign, Aram continues to whittle away at Israel, conducting raids, killing and pillaging Jews, particularly in the Transjordan. Yehu dies and is succeeded by his son Yehoahaz. Yehu's plot against the Baal worshippers is another instance of his modeling his leadership style after that of Eliyahu Navi. Perhaps the most memorable episode in the prophet's career was his showdown with the prophets of the Baal, where he too gathered the community together, encouraged the priests of the Baal to engage in worship, and followed up by having them all summarily executed. At least insofar as his passion, enthusiasm, and penchant for dramatic flair is concerned, Yehu can be thought of as the Eliyahu Navi of kings. He understood that the political success of the kingdom of Israel would depend on their devotion to Hashem and to Torah, and that the deeply entrenched Baal worship had to be uprooted and eliminated to allow Judaism to flourish. However, like his predecessors, Yehu's fear of losing the kingdom prevented him from confronting the legacy of Yerovam, which by now was a given in the cultural world of the northern kingdom, and would have been even more difficult to reform. In the minds of the citizens of Israel, the altars and golden calves of Yerovam were expressions of their Jewish identity and connection to Hashem, not of any rebellion against him or idolatry. Yehu may have rationalized that in the meantime, allowing them to remain could be a positive thing as they weaned themselves off of the Baal. And like many of the temporary measures we rationalize in life, either individually or communally, over time it settled into permanency. Yehu's decision to slaughter the 42 visiting relatives of King Ahaziah is at first shocking. Like his killing of Ahaziah itself, these executions do not seem to be part of his prophetic mandate, which was directed mainly against the house of Achav. However, Yehu's actions were based on his understanding that the houses of Achav and Ahaziah were inextricably intertwined as a result of the marriage of the children of King Yehoshaphat and King Achav. Our observation of the decline of the kingdom of Yehuda and the developments in future chapters will substantiate this perception. The covenant between the families, as it were, united them and significantly expanded the range of Yehu's legitimate targets as he fought to extirpate the legacy of Achav in all of its incarnations.